Our scriptural lesson this day will come from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We'll be reading from the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll read verses 1 through 8, and it is found on page 1035 of your pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all of the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher as in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was reading the other day about a college sophomore who had an interesting conversation with her campus pastor. She had come to the university, like most young people, wanting to make friends and fit in socially in the culture of the university. Yet it didn't take her long to discover that fitting in came at a high price. There was pressure on this young woman, some of it subtle, some of it friendly, to conform and to do things that she ordinarily would not do. And because she didn't want to appear odd, she wanted to make friends and fit in, she was tempted to go with the flow, like some of us are sometimes tempted to go with the flow and to fit in. But she came to realize that she just couldn't do what everyone else did. She wasn't brought up that way. But she decided that she had to be herself, in the sense that she was brought up to be a particular kind of self. She was brought up as a Christian. And so she decided that she would spend time thinking through what she wanted in life and what she wanted to be. And she confessed that at first she was scared because everyone wants to fit in. None of us want to be different. Nobody wants to appear to be odd. But the more she began to think about herself as a young Christian, the more she found the courage to say to herself, this is who I am. I am a Christian. I do belong to God. Whether it causes me to be able to fit in or not, I belong to God and I am a Christian. This is the kind of life that I want. And she said that told her campus pastor that she was learning the joy of being odd. We usually don't think of being odd as a joy, but this young woman said that she was learning and experiencing the joy of being odd. None of us like to stick out. It's uncomfortable sometimes being different. We sometimes want to conform. We want to fit in. Even God's people, Israel, wanted to fit in. Some of you may remember the story in Samuel where the Israelites, who have been called out of Egyptian slavery to be God's people, come to the prophet Samuel and they say, "We want to be just like the nations. Give us a king so we can be just like the people around us. We don't want to fit in. I mean, we don't want to be different, but we want to fit in. But we are reminded this morning that we are called to be a different kind of people. We are called to be an odd kind of people. Now, some of you are odd, a little odd already. As your pastor, I've been observing you for quite some time, and I want you to know that I'm your pastor, and I love you all, but some of you are a bit odd. I'm sure you're probably saying that about me, too, I'm sure. But some of us are just a little odd, just a little off, kilter. But we are reminded this morning that we are called as God's people to be odd. We are called to be different. We are called not to fit in. We are called to be an odd people, a peculiar people in the midst of the world. The Bible even goes so far as to say that we are aliens in this world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We have different customs and different values and different ways because we belong somewhere else. We belong to God. And that means we belong to God's coming future, to God's coming kingdom. That's where we belong. Our country, as many of you know, is a country of immigrants. And unless you're an American Indian, your ancestors have come from someplace else. And when you come to this country as an immigrant, the pressure is to conform. You want to learn the language and the customs of the country. You want to learn the values. You want to learn what it means to be American. You want to learn what it means to live the American dream. We want to conform. I was reading the other day about a famous movie star some decades ago whose family of origin was from Eastern Europe. And one of the first things that he did was it changed his name. So that it would sound more American, because we all want to conform. No one wants to appear to be odd. But in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is speaking to us as Christians, and as such, he tells us, do not be conformed to this world. Do not do what the world does. Do not do what everyone else is doing, but be transformed. Be renewed in our minds. And when Paul talks about not conforming to the world, it's important to understand that he's not talking about the kinds of things that we often come to think of as being worldly. When I was growing up, I was told that there were certain things that were worldly that you weren't supposed to do. You know, you weren't supposed to smoke, you weren't supposed to drink, you weren't supposed to party, you weren't supposed to do all of those things, you weren't supposed to be sexually promiscuous. All of those things were considered to be worldly. But when Paul talks about not conforming to the world, he's not just talking about those things that we all agree can get you into trouble. But when Paul talks about not conforming to the ways of this world, he's talking about not conforming to the cultural inclinations of our society and our nation. He's talking about not conforming to the methods that our world believes sometimes are good ways, the ways we all ought to conform. He's talking about sometimes not conforming to the best of what our society and what our culture and what our nation has to offer. That's what he means when he says, do not conform to this world, but to be transformed in the renewal of your minds. William Willimon, who was the dean of Duke Chapel at Duke University, tells the story about a young student who came to him wanting to know what to do with his life. And so Willimon had talked the student into serving for 2 years in Africa as a missionary of some sort. And the student agreed to do that and went and told his parents about what he was going to do and the decision that he made. And the parents were incensed that this young person was going to spend 2 years in Africa being a missionary because they had spent a lot of money for him to go to Duke University, and they didn't want to waste that money, that education, going to Duke University and not pursuing the kinds of career that most people in our culture believe you ought to be able to pursue. They wanted their son to be a doctor or a lawyer or a business person, someone who made a lot of money. But instead, this young person had decided as a Christian that they were going to spend a part of their life doing something for God. And that caused the parents to be incensed because they wanted their child to be like all the other children that they knew, the children of their friends who went away to expensive colleges and then got out and got good jobs. But Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed in the renewal of your minds. We are to be a little odd because we are New Age people. Not like the so-called New Age people who gaze into crystals and chant in the moon. They're a little odd too. But we are the real New Age people because with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that God's new age has already began. That's what the Gospel of John tells us on that first Easter. John tells us over and over again on that first Easter that it is the first day of the week. John tells us this because he wants us to understand that with the resurrection of Jesus, it is the first day of the new creation. It's the first day of what God is doing new in the world. And you and I, we live in the overlap between the old world, the old ways of doing things, and the new world that's coming, the coming of God's future. We are in the overlap. In some ways, we are in the old world. We live in the old world. But we don't belong to the old world. We belong to God's new world. We belong to God's coming future. That's who we are. And so Paul says, don't be conformed to the old world. Don't be conformed to the old ways of doing things, but be transformed, be renewed in your minds. Be odd, be different. That's who we are called to be. There's a special word for the oddness that we are called into, and that word is holy. We don't use that word much anymore, perhaps because it sounds spiritually pretentious. You know, I'm holy. But the word holy simply means to be set apart. It means to be set aside. And as God's people, we are called to be holy. We are called to be set apart. That's what holiness means. We are called to be different. We are called to think differently and to act differently. We are called to present ourselves differently. We are called to be holy. And we can't be holy if we are conforming to the world. We can't be holy if the world's standards are our standards. We can't be holy if we are out there doing the same things that the world is out there doing. We're called to be different. We're called to be odd. In my 51 years, I've had the opportunity to be a part of many congregations. I grew up in a very strict Calvinist church that was so strict that we didn't even believe in playing musical instruments. Playing musical instruments was the work of the devil. That's what our pastor used to say. We didn't even believe in playing musical instruments. And I also was a member of the church, of a charismatic church, where we used to speak in tongues and dance in the spirit. I was a member of a church that was a mainline church that considered itself to be socially progressive and talked about social justice issues. And I've had the opportunity to be a part of a church that was considered to be very conservative and emphasized individual social morality. I've been a part of churches that were mostly African American, and I've been a part of churches that were mostly white American. I've been a part of many different congregations and many different churches, and almost all the people in those churches were people who were dedicated and committed Christians. They were people who loved the Lord. And yet in almost all of those churches, many people had their ways of conforming to the world. We sometimes don't recognize that in ourselves. We easily recognize how other Christians conform to the world, but we sometimes aren't aware of the ways that we all conform to the ways of the world. I was reading some statistics not long ago, and the statistics suggested that when it comes to most categories, many of us Christians including many of us evangelical Christians, look a lot like everyone else. You know, we have the same rates of divorce as everyone else. We give about the same amount to charity as everyone else. We have about the same incident of domestic violence as everyone else. Our neighborhoods are segregated by race and by class like everyone else. Our children engage in premarital sex at about the same rate as everyone else. We have the same desires and hopes as everyone else. We read the same books and watch the same movies as everyone else. Instead of being odd, we look like everyone else. But Paul tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I need to emphasize a couple of things here. First of all, Paul recognizes that holiness is about transformation. Our society right now is really big in transformation. You know, I was watching a program the other day where some wives were wanting their husbands to be transformed. And so they had their husbands to go in the back of the studio and to be made over by a fashion guru. And so these men who came with, you know, blue jeans and T-shirts at the end of the show came out in, you know, expensive suits. And so they were completely made over. But we're into being transformed. We're into being made over. We try to shed pounds and we read self-help books, all kinds of self-improvement books in order to be made over. But the kind of transformation that the Apostle Paul is talking about here this morning is not the kind of transformation that we can give ourselves. The transformation that the Apostle Paul is talking about is a transformation that can only come from God. It's a transformation that comes as a result of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. You know, there's all kinds of spirits blowing out there in the world. There are spirits of greed and spirits of indifference, spirits of promiscuity, sexual promiscuity, all kinds of spirits out there operating in the world. But they're spirits of death. Only the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is a spirit of life. And that's the spirit that we want to have blowing inside of our hearts. That's the spirit that we want to have blowing inside of our church. That's the spirit that sets us apart from much of the world. That's the spirit that makes us odd, the spirit that makes us holy. We need to say, too, that transformation has to do with our minds. Now, I know that we Christians, sometimes we shrink whenever we talk about our minds. You know, we're into feelings. We want to feel. But transformation has to do with our minds. It has to do with our patterns of thinking. It has to do with the way that we think. It is similar to what Paul says in the book of Philippians when Paul says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's what it means for us to be odd. To be odd means to have the same mind in us that Jesus Christ had. That's what it means to be perfect. That's what it means for us to be different than the way the world is. We have to face the fact, of course, that many people in Jesus' day considered him to be odd. There was something different about him. And I suspect that if Jesus was here today, many of us would still consider him odd, despite the fact that we've had 2,000 years of our Western culture being steeped in Christianity. I suspect that if Jesus walked the earth with us today, that many of us would consider Jesus to be odd. You know, we live in a world that is rife with indifference and strife and violence and hatred. And yet Jesus said such odd things as love your enemies, forgive those, and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus said things like turn the other cheek. It's an odd thing to say. It was an odd thing to say back in Jesus' day, and it's an odd thing to say in our day as well. We don't want to love our enemies. I don't want to love my enemies. I don't want to love my enemies. I want to get my enemies. I don't want to forgive my enemies. I don't want to forgive people who have hurt me. I don't want to forgive my enemies. I don't want to forgive the enemies of my country. I don't want to forgive my enemies. I want to hate my enemies. But Jesus says, love our enemies. I didn't say that. Randy Barge did not say that. So please don't go back and say Randy Barge is saying something that ain't there. Randy Barge did not say that. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, love your enemies. Randy Barge says, hate your enemies. But Jesus says, love your enemies. That's what Jesus said. We live in a society where the prevailing notion is that one of the worst things that can happen to you is that you are in poverty. That's what we believe. But Jesus said the very opposite. Jesus says that one of the worst things that can happen to you is wealth. Jesus says one of the worst things that can happen to you is when you have more than what you need. Jesus says it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier than a camel to enter the head of a needle than it is for rich people to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's odd to us. Try going outside in our culture and saying that today. Try going up to the store at 6 o'clock in the afternoon when people are buying that lottery ticket for the big game. What is it now? 40 million? What is it? Y'all know. But try going out and say that. We believe in wealth. We believe that if you have enough money that you got it made. But Jesus says the very opposite. Jesus says that if you have more than what you need, you're in danger. You're in spiritual danger. We live in a society that tells us that we need to self-actualize, that we need to be all you can be. That's what we believe. That's what our society tells us. But Jesus tells us something different. Jesus tells us something odd. Jesus says that those who seek after their lives will lose it. And those who lose their lives for his sake will find it. That's what Jesus says. That's odd to us. Strange to us. And people who think that way are bound to stand out in our culture. They're bound to stand out in our society. But that's what the Apostle Paul says that we are called to do. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed. Be transformed in the renewal of your minds. Now, none of us can be odd by ourselves. It takes a community to be odd. It takes a community to be holy. That's why we come to this place every week. None of us can be odd by ourselves or holy by ourselves. And the world isn't going to help us to be holy either. The world doesn't want you to be holy. The world doesn't want you to be odd. The world wants you to conform. The world wants us to think in the way that it thinks. The world wants us to be divided the way it is divided. The world wants us to be at each other's throats the way the world is at each other's throats. The world wants us to be indifferent in the same way that it's indifferent. It doesn't want us to be holy. It doesn't want us to be different. It wants us to conform. But the Apostle Paul says for us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. And that is why we come here Sunday after Sunday. We come here to be transformed. We come here to be renewed. We come here to learn what it means not to be conformed to this world. We come here to worship. The Apostle Paul says that we ought to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. That is, we come here to dedicate ourselves to God. That's being countercultural right there, to talk about dedicating ourselves to something else, to someone else. But we come to dedicate ourselves to God, to sacrifice our lives to God. We come here at this place and we bring our lives and we bring the gifts that we have, the gifts and the talents that God has given us. Some of you have wonderful gifts. Some of you have administrative gifts. Some of you have gifts for teaching. Some of you have vocal gifts. We all have gifts. And we come here to this place and we use those gifts, not in the way that the world uses gifts. You know, when we give in a gift in the world, you know how we use it. We like to build ourselves up and puff ourselves up and show how important we are, how much better we are than other people. But not when we come to this place. When we come to this place, we use the gifts that God has given us to build one another up, to build up the community, to edify one another, and to begin to live into a whole new vision, a vision that is different from the vision that is lived out there in the world. We are called to be God's renewed and transformed people. Now, we can come here and we can use the gifts and we can act much like the world acts. We can come here and we can act like we're puffed up. We can come here and we can act like we're important, that we're better than other people. We can come here and we can be jealous of one another, be jealous of our turf, be suspicious of one another. We can come here and do all of that kind of thing. But that's to conform to the ways of the world. That's the way that the world operates, that the institutions of the world operate that way. But we are called here to be God's people. We are called here to pattern our lives after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus was the one who came to give his life. Jesus didn't come to say how important he is. Jesus didn't come to say, look how important I am. I need to be exalted above everybody. I need everybody to serve me. Jesus doesn't come to say that. Instead, Jesus, who is Lord of lords and King of kings, came to serve. Jesus, who is Lord of lords and King of kings, came to give his life for each and every one of us. Not because we are important, not because we're equal with Jesus, but Jesus came to give his life for us because we needed it, because we needed to be saved, because we needed someone. We needed someone to be for us. Jesus came to give his life for us. And today we are the body of Christ. We are the community that is supposed to look like Jesus. We are the community that is supposed to be different from the way that the world is different. Paul reminds us that we belong to the future. We belong to God's coming kingdom. We belong in the overlap between this world and the world that is to come. We are the witnesses to what this world will become. One day, the world is going to look like us. One day, the world is going to look like what God wants us to look like. One day, the world is going to be a place where God's love and God's ways are all in all. One day, the world is going to love one another. One day, the world is going to embrace one another. One day, the world is going to look like God's coming kingdom, which is what we are called to look like today. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewal of your minds, so that together we all look like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to be a peculiar people. You have called us to serve you in a world that does not know who you are, but desperately needs to experience the good news of what you have called all of us to be. We ask, Lord, that you continue to help us to be open to the movement of your Spirit operating in our lives, operating in our world. Transform us, change us, renew us, so that more and more we begin to look like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray here today. Amen.